Thank you. Could I ask you to turn in your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 2? Luke chapter 2. And while you're turning in your Bibles, don't worry, it's not that long. Don't worry. I was hoping our sister Park could testify a bit longer, because I could have sat there a bit longer, that's for sure. So I could. But with the help of the Lord. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Maybe we could just have a wee quick word of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank thee now, Lord, for the privilege that we have of reading the Word of God. And Lord, as we would come forth now to bring forth a word, Lord, we pray for thy help upon me. We realize our need, Lord, in times like this, our need of help from a Savior. But Lord, with the help of the Lord, we pray for that infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray most importantly, Lord, that thou would come and meet with us here. Thank you again for the privilege that we have of bringing forth the gospel. And Lord, we just pray now that thou would be one of our number tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. At this point, I'm going to take my jacket off because it's quite warm up here. Whenever Mr. Salt asked me to give a word to the folks here, it's never an easy thing to do. It's not easy when you're doing it in the back room on a Tuesday, and it's certainly not easy here either. But I had a fair bit of time to consider a word. And over the past, I suppose, week or so, this particular few verses have been coming to me in my daily reading, and also in a thought for to preach tonight. At this particular time, we see here in chapter 2 that the birth of Jesus was surrounded by many miracles. There's an angelic appearance, there's a virgin conception, and there's split-second timing at the precise moment of his birth. We know at this time, through commentaries and through different things that we have read, that this particular time was a special time. The Roman Empire was at its largest point at this time. There was basically universal peace throughout the lands at this time. So it was a time that the Lord had ordained for the Saviour's birth. And we can see through it that it was precise. The timing was precise. The moment of his birth was precise. I mean, we can see the hand of God is highly visible in the birth of the Lord Jesus into the world. However, every time I read this particular chapter, this verse that we are reading about, every time I look at it afresh, it never ceases to amaze me in the simple statement in verse 7. And it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and led him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, to me, the thought that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would come into this world and be placed in a manger, it's almost beyond comprehension. Thinking about it, what a manger is. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. It wasn't a bad place. Not at all for feeding the sheep or the cattle, but to my mind, it was certainly no place for a child to be placed upon. Never mind the Son of God. However, as I think of these great truths, I realise that there were some pretty important reasons why Jesus was placed in the manger at his birth. And tonight, I would like to take just a few moments to address the question, and the title, if you want, for my sermon is, Why Was the Lord of Glory Laid in a Manger? Recently I read a quote, I think it was in the book that we got recently in the church, and there was a quote in it, and it really stood out to me, and someone had written, the only person in history who was able to choose where he was born chose a stable. My first point is because of alienation. We can see here in verse 7 plainly says that Jesus was placed in this makeshift cradle because there was no room available for him and his family in the inn there in Bethlehem. You see, isn't it sad when you think about it? When God came and sent his son to redeem sinners, men responded by putting up a no vacancy sign. Well, things haven't really changed much, have they, today? They haven't really changed much in the intervening 2,000 odd years. There's still no room for Jesus in society, in schools, in many homes, in many lives, and sadly even in some churches today, there's still no room for Jesus. Well, you see, the question that you and I need to answer ourselves is this. Have we made room for Jesus in our hearts? Or is he unwanted then, as he was then? Is he unwanted now? In the most part, in the world today, he is still unwanted. And at this time of year, when we think about gifts, and we think about how God gave this precious gift, the most important gift that was ever given. And whenever a child today, you give it something and maybe it doesn't want it or whatever the case may be, well, it's just the same with the Lord Jesus. This gift was given and it was an unwanted gift. Another point that we see is because of association. When Jesus allowed himself to be led in this manger, he was identifying himself with those who he came to save. There are three great areas of man's lives that Jesus came to identify. Well, the first point is mankind's poverty. He knows all about our need. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, and it says, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I'll read that again. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He knows our poverty. He knows all about it. And we can see in Psalm 37, chapter 37 and verse 25. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteousness forsaken, not his seed begging bread. You see, even though he knows our poverty, he's promised to meet it and to meet every need. Another verse that we could turn to is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, he has promised. He's seen mankind's poverty, but he has promised to meet their need. I read recently of the great Baptist preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, of a prayer that he once prayed, and it said, Blessed Saviour, how we thank thee that you shared our human poverty, that we may share your divine riches. You see, God knows all about us. God knows mankind's poverty. Second point is mankind's problems. He knows our struggles. He knows all about them. He knows about your trials that you face. and he knows all about them. In Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. You see, he knows all about it. He knows mankind's, poverty. He knows mankind's problem. He knows all about it. He knows what you face. Therefore, he's able to help us through our troubles and to meet the need of our lives. My third point is mankind's priorities. You see, God detests worldly pomp and riches. Now, don't get me wrong in what I'm saying there. There's nothing wrong if you are well off or whatever, and Lord, the God has put you there, that's fine. But what I'm talking about is the love of it, the love of riches. But he detests it. When Jesus came to this world, he knew that mankind was basically greedy and in love with wealth and with the pursuit of it. He came to teach us that there is a higher priority in life and that the priority is the glory of the Father. Luke chapter 16 and verse 15 says, "For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." You see, he knows all about you. He knows all about you. He was born in that humble manger to remind men of the greatest aspiration of the human soul is to seek God. It's to seek the glory of Almighty God above everything else. Because of accessibility, we know that he was born in an inn. I read recently in my commentary, it says, "An inn receives all comers, as does Jesus. Unlike an inn, he receives them without money and without price." I'm going to ask you a question tonight, and I want you to answer it in your own heart. I want you to imagine for a moment that the Lord Jesus was born in Herod's palace, amid the riches and the finery of that place. Imagine that his bed was not a manger, but a golden crib. Imagine that him having enjoyed a life of abundance and plenty. Imagine him being separated from the common man by the walls of that great city and the guards of the king's palace. If that were the case, would you feel the liberty to come to him? Probably not. However, he wasn't born in Herod's palace. He was born in a manger, and thereby he made himself accessible to all men. You see, whenever I thought about it, and I was thinking about this manger, and I thought to myself, well, if he had been born into a wealthy family, and even if there had been no room in the inn, if Mary's family had been a wealthy family, they would have made room for him. But there was a purpose for him being born into the family that he was born into. There was a purpose for the no vacancy sign being up in everywhere that they went. You see, in that day and age, if you seen someone today that was heavy with child, you would do your best to help them, but in that day and age it wasn't to be. And there was a reason behind it. He was born in a manger, and thereby he made himself accessible to anyone who would come to him. Luke 2 records the visit of the shepherds. Now the shepherds were common, ordinary, probably dirty men, and yet they felt the liberty to approach him. Later on, even the wise men, these learned, wealthy men, felt equally at home coming to this babe in the manger. You see, he was making himself accessible, folks. He was making himself accessible to everyone. So no matter what your background, the Lord Jesus is accessible to you, just the same as he was to these men in this day. You see, Jesus shunned the palace in favour of a stable so that he would make himself available to all who desired to come to him. Thank God. Whosoever will find all these will ever need in Jesus. The lowliest of man or the influential ruler makes no difference. It makes no difference where you come from, how much money you have in the bank, are you black, are you white, makes no difference. Makes no difference. The Lord Jesus was making himself available to all. Because it was an announcement. You see, when Mary took her newborn baby and placed him in that feeding trough, she was painting an image far more vivid than she could probably realize herself. For there in Bethlehem was known as the house of bread. That's what Bethlehem means, the house of bread. And there in the house of bread, the bread of life was born. You see, here we can see, when we look at this chapter, we can see God working out a plan. We can see it vividly, clearly. Here was Bethlehem, the house of bread, and the bread of life was to be born here. He was born not into the palace of Herod, but he was born in an animal feeding trough, a manger. He was making himself available to all. You see, isn't it appropriate that the one who would feed the souls of countless multitudes should have his bed in the very place where the animals came to feed? It just serves to remind us, when hungry men come to Jesus and receive him, he satisfies their longing soul. Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 9. For he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. You see, as he gives us the bread of life, as we read in John chapter 6, it was almost like saying, it was like God saying, dinner is served. Come and dine. You see, I think, folks, that the birth of Jesus, it's basically that the bread came down from heaven. And the birth of Jesus is a pretty significant event. I am glad that it happened the way that it did, because I find there room for you, room for me, room for us all. And we see the significance of it here, that even though the Lord Jesus was the King of glory, he was the King of kings, the Lord of lords, I asked the question at the start, why was the King of glory born in a manger? And the answer that I find here is very simple, that he was born in a manger because for you and for me. You see, Bethlehem's birth was already foretold in the Old Testament in Isaiah. And you see, again, in the commentary I read today, and I think it was very appropriate, and it says, it was an instance of the humiliation of the Lord Jesus. We were become by sin like an outcast infant, helpless, forth, as such a one as Christ was. It was just exactly the same. As he was an outcast, as a child, as an infant, the same as can be said today. Is he outcast? And the question that I would ask you tonight, do you know him? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Let us pray.
Just wish to thank Jeff very much indeed for that very good word. Thank you for coming along to preach for us here tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us thus far. We thank thee for reminding us through the word of God tonight of the free offer of the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, that we do not have to be rich or educated or influential to become a child of God, but the gospel is for the whosoever will. And Lord, there's none held out tonight apart from those that hold themselves out. And Father, we do ask just at this time for those that have been holding out all their days, Lord, that even now in this prayer that they might seek the Lord while he may be found. We thank you once again for these words. Bless the word to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.